More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, rise up. Are you weighed down by challenges in your life or relationships? Let us help you experience the resurrection that comes after the cross this Easter season. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And today on More to Life, rise up. We're talking about how to cooperate with the graces of Easter to experience the resurrection that comes after the cross. Are you weighed down by particular problems in your life or relationships? Maybe there are certain personal or emotional challenges wearing you out. Perhaps there's a relationship that's running you down, or specific problems you're not sure how to respond to effectively. Is there a particular person who's making your life difficult and you just don't know what to do? Let us help you cooperate with the grace of the Easter season and discover the resurrection that comes after the cross. The number to call, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, I think there are a lot of us who are saying, hey, yeah, I'm Christian, and we're through Easter, we're in Easter time, and this is amazing. And then there are those people who just won't let you live it. You know,
or those situations.
Are the situations that are people who want to get in your way, maybe even attacking your faith in some way to help bring you down. But just getting under your skin, making it just harder to rise up at all. Sometimes you don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. They get on your nerves so much. Or everything might even be good with your people, but the circumstances of life just keep thwacking you around. And you're thinking, how do I be the person I feel like God's calling me to be, or even find out who that is? How do I tap into His grace? How do I be the Catholic, the Christian that I want to be, the person that in these circumstances, in this relationship that I'm in, or a lot of relationships that I'm in? It can feel really difficult. And of course, that's exactly what the enemy wants us to feel. It's not what God wants us to be in the midst of. He wants to walk alongside of us. He wants to be present to us all the time. Sometimes we have to clear a lot of stuff out of the way before we can see His presence very clearly. And if you need to clear some stuff up, if you need next steps on how to deal with those people, or those circumstances, or those frustrations in your life, well, we are here to help you chart those next steps today on More to Life. All you have to do is give us a call, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. No situation is too small or too big for God to handle and for us to give you some grace with today.
Well, that's right. And so today's show, again, is called Rise Up, as we talk about the problems in our life or relationships that are weighing us down and how we can cooperate with grace more effectively to rise up in the face of those challenges. Call up and share what personal or emotional challenges are wearing you out, what relationships are running you down, what particular problems you're not sure how to respond to effectively in your life or emotions or relationships. And if there's a specific person that's making your life difficult, we want to help you deal with them more effectively. Whatever the challenge is that's robbing your joy in this Easter season, let us help you cooperate with the grace that God is giving you to discover how to rise up in the face of those difficulties. 877-573-7825.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to step in on you
no
at all.
Worries.
Or how you can help those people who are in your life and you're feeling like they're just not able to rise up or feel any kind of grace right now. They are stuck in a situation where you see them being dragged down. It's dragging you down to see them go through it, and you're not quite sure how to help them. We're here for you today. Let's tap into that Easter grace together on More to Life today. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And for folks who aren't aware of what that is, Pope St. John Paul gave a series of reflections that looked at creation, salvation history, the Gospels, and explained how they shine a lens, or they provide a lens, excuse me, for us to see God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
The theology of the body reminds us that although the world is fallen, God is working through us to rebuild his kingdom. That rebuilding starts in our lives and in our relationships. Pope St. John Paul reminded us that focusing on what God created us and the world to be is more important than focusing on what we and the world are today. We tend to get frustrated when we have to deal with the persistent problems and challenges and stressors. And that is very understandable. But when we look through the lens of the theology of the body, we can see that God is always giving us the grace we need to bounce back in the face of trials and respond in ways that help us to cooperate with his grace and make a positive difference. As Christians, we're called to do whatever we can to show the world that God's power is always working in us, even in the middle of persistent problems, and that he is giving us the ability to make whatever challenge we're facing better, even if it's just in small ways.
Now, it's true that some days that work can seem harder than others, but there are a few tips we can draw from the theology of the body to persevere, even when we start to doubt ourselves or feel worn down. First, we need to keep our eyes not on what's in front of us, but rather on how God wants to work through us to make the situation into what he wants it to be. Second, we need to keep bringing that situation to God in prayer and asking him to help us discern the next small step. Third, we need to lean into virtue, those spiritual strengths that enable us to respond the way God wants us to in a particular situation. We need to prayerfully ask, what are those virtues or strengths we need to apply to this situation so that we can be our best selves, glorify God in this response, and you know, ideally invite the other people to be their best selves as well. You know, if we can do these things, we can fulfill the promise that St. Paul makes in Romans 8:28, that to those who love God, all things work for the good. You know, sounds great on paper, in theory, right? But whenever it comes to actually applying it to that tough situation in your life or relationships, that's where things get a little hairy, and that's why we want you to give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we can start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to your presence and we bring to you all those challenges in our life and relationships that are weighing us down, that are robbing our joy, that are making it hard to see how you are working in us or with us or through us to make a positive difference in those situations or those relationships. Lord, teach us to respond to those challenges in ways that will glorify you, that will help us be our best selves, and will invite those others who are involved to be their best selves as well, so that even in the face of difficulties, we can feel hopeful, we can see your grace in action, and we can build your kingdom. And we ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Rise Up, as we talk about how to cooperate with those Easter graces so that we can rise up in the face of the personal, emotional, or relationship challenges we're encountering. If you're feeling weighed down by a particular problem in your life or relationships, and you're looking for some new tools, new direction, we are here to help. Again, the number, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jillian, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Jersey.
Hi, Jillian. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you? Jillian? Hey.
Hi, Jillian. Can you speak up just a little bit for us?
I sure can. I'm sorry. I wasn't sure if I should turn my radio down, but I must have turned also my phone down.
Oh, no problem. Okay, great. So what can we do for you today?
Well, I am 53 years old, so I'm, you know, I have a family of my own and a marriage that has its ups and downs. But the biggest struggle in my life right now is my parents' marriage. They have, you know, been together all my life, but in these last, I would say the last 20 years of my life, they are just at each other. My mom has gotten her own apartment at times, but then she comes back. They're both two good people. They're both church-going people. But somehow it just, I don't know. I don't want to judge, but I feel like it doesn't always sink in. And I'm always in the middle because I love them both. Mm. But my dad can be very prideful and very stubborn and hard-headed at times, and I see it draining my mom. And while I never want to say, like, get a divorce, I find myself saying that sometimes.
No, I think you need to say get help. I guess I'm curious on two fronts. One, I'm curious why this is the biggest problem in your life. I'm curious what stops you from just being, you know, that prophetic woman of God and saying what needs to be said here, which is that both your mom and dad need to grow up and get the help that they need so that they can actually live their faith in their marriage instead of being so hypocritical, you know, going to church on Sundays and then treating each other like garbage the rest of the week. So let's start with the first question. Why is this the biggest problem in your life?
This is the biggest problem of my life because I love them both, and because I live nearby, mm-hmm. I live around the corner.
Okay.
So, you know, when an argument blows up there, you know, I'm the refuge, and I want to be that.
You can't be that, though. That's unhealthy. That's not appropriate.
Not only is it unhealthy for you, but it's you're giving them this horrible way out. Which is, they tell you their stuff. They get you all emotionally upset. And then they get just enough pressure released that they think, I can go on this way forever.
This is a very gross metaphor, but it's exactly what's happening, okay? When somebody, you know, when your stomach is upset and you finally vomit, you feel better afterward. Well, you're allowing your mom and your dad to emotionally vomit all over you. So then you walk around with their sick all over you the rest of the week, and they feel better. So now they don't have to get help. So, you know, your attempt to try to help them by being that sounding board is actually making you part of the problem. And I know your heart's in the right place, and I know you're trying to do a good thing, and I know you love them very much, and, you know, you're trying to do your bit. But what's happening here is that there's this sick family dynamic where you become effectively their sin eater. You know, and instead of actually calling them to do the work they need to do and challenge them to be the godly adults that they are, you end up enabling them because they feel better after they complain to you.
And you're miserable, you're worried, you're thinking about it all, and they probably aren't. On top of that, Jillian, I'm going to be really honest here. You are a Catholic woman listening to Catholic radio, which means you said your marriage is good. If you continue to allow your parents to take up this much of your energy, it won't be so good because your lot in life right now, your whole focus should be on the sacrament you entered into, which is your marriage, and the companionship and raising of any children you have, even if they're adults.
And making it as strong as it can possibly be, because that's
exactly
how you witness to your parents what a loving Catholic marriage is supposed to be like.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be perfect, but you want to make sure that your witness to your folks is, you know, wow, you know, Jillian has really got something that we don't. Which gives you the credibility to then say, you know what, Dad, I love you with all my heart, but you're really prideful, and kind of a lot. And you really need to learn how to back off because you're driving mom crazy. And here's a number that you can call to go work with somebody to get the help that you need to stop that.
And mom, it's not enough to just walk out of the house and get yourself an apartment sometimes and then come back. You need to be in active counseling together to make the changes you need to make, because this is your marriage. This is your sacrament, and you owe it to yourself, to each other, and to God.
And mom and dad, you know, I know how important your faith is to both of you, but you're being hypocrites because you're going to church on Sunday and you're treating each other like garbage the rest of the week. And I love you too much to not say something about that and challenge you both to do better.
Now, you're not walking away from them, but you're not going to be that stopgap. They need a good marriage therapist to be the person that they call when they don't know what to do so they can learn the skills that they need to learn.
And if you say that and their response is, but your father this, or but your mother that, you need to say, look, I'm not the person to discuss this with, and I can't be in the middle of this anymore. I love you too much, and I can't help you. Go get help from somebody who can. I love you very much. I'll help you even find some people, but I can't talk about this. And if we're going to keep talking about this, I'm going to need to go.
Now, this does not mean you walk away from the relationship or you don't spend time with them. It's just that you stop being the person that they turn to in all of this. And there's always part of us as adult children that's a little bit afraid that if we don't let our parents do this, that marriage is going to fall apart. And we're still scared, even though we're full-grown adults, because nobody wants their parents to be separated or divorced. But they're more likely to end up in that situation if you keep allowing them to use you in this way. On top of that, again, your focus needs to be on your marriage, your family. And by letting them take up so much of your emotional energy, you're not giving everything to your husband that he deserves, even if the marriage is great. It could be better if you could offload this emotional baggage that you're carrying around on your back that's wearing you out.
The last thing I'll say is, you know, you said you don't want to say to them, get divorced, but there's a part of you that wishes that they would. I understand where you're coming from with that. We don't ever want to be in the position of encouraging somebody to get divorced. What we want to do is be in the position of challenging them to live their sacrament. You know, the sacrament of marriage is all about healing our broken ability to love. And your folks, you know, I'm sure they have got a lot of qualities to recommend them, but they have a broken ability to love each other. And they're not cooperating with the grace of the sacrament to do the work they need to do to love each other well. And they're, you know, driving the rest of their kids crazy in the process. So, you know, it's not judging to say, mom and dad, you need to live up to your sacramental promises by learning how to love each other and knock this off. That's not judgmental. That's being prophetic.
Your grandchildren love you. We all want you to be in a good, happy, holy, healthy place. Here's the number of a couple of therapists that I've found.
Go talk to them. All right, Jillian, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach back out to us here again on More to Life.
But remember, what you're feeling is actually a prompting of the Holy Spirit to tell you to do something, but not what you're doing right now, something that's going to be much more effective for them and for you.
Thanks so much for the call. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here again on More to Life. You can also check out additional resources that we have for couples at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can learn more about our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, or For Better Forever, or lots of other resources to help you live a more grace-filled married life. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today on our show titled Rise Up, where we're looking at those challenges that weigh us down, whether they are personal or emotional challenges, spiritual difficulties, or relationship problems. If it's stopping you from experiencing the joy of this Easter season and just making you feel worn down, wrung out, or worn out, we want to help you overcome and experience the resurrection that comes after the cross. The number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. He'll be sharing some insights from the theology of the body that help us persevere in the power of faith. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues right after the break.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession. And when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN, Live truth. Live Catholic.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian prayer series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and our show today is titled Rise Up, as we talk about how to cooperate with the graces of the season to rise up in the face of those personal, emotional, or relational challenges that are weighing us down. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Father Thomas Loya. He is the director of the Tabor Life Institute. He's a pastor, theology of the body expert, counselor, and he's here today to talk to us about how we can experience the grace of that resurrection even in the middle of those challenging times. Father Loya, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. As we say in my church, Christ has risen, everybody.
He's risen indeed.
Blessed Easter.
Thank you, Father.
Gotta believe it.
We do gotta believe it.
Even when we're worn down by all the stuff that's going around us. So how do we hold on to that Easter joy and that hope in the middle of our challenges?
Well, it's precisely in this, in our understanding that, remember, the cross and resurrection go together. They kind of almost subsist in each other. Before Christ resurrected, He descended into hell, into Hades, and did battle with Satan, broke that power, and then He rises up out of that and then emerges from the tomb, and then it's proclaimed, and people are aware now that there, and there's this great victory, we're saved, you know, but it comes from battling, embracing what was very, very dark, the darkest thing, battling with Satan. Coming up this Sunday is a very good example. St. Thomas Sunday. It's also Divine Mercy in Latin Rite, but it's also St. Thomas Sunday for the churches East and West. Now, what happened there is very, very important in terms of this. Jesus comes in the upper room. He passes through the door, like almost like a ghost. You know, the door is locked. Important detail. He passes through there with his same body, yet it's somehow spiritualized, like the theology of body, a scatological man. And the apostles are amazed. So Thomas is there. He sees this. He's there the second time. He sees this body come through the door like a ghost. It's incredible. He still doesn't believe. When does he believe? He believes when he touches the wounds. Then he believes. His resurrection experience was precisely by literally touching what was pain, death, sorrow, defeat, everything bad, was in those wounds. And those wounds were still on the resurrected body. So that means that when we have difficulties, challenges, just like you're the previous caller, you were basically recalling her and telling her to call her parents to resurrection. In other words, to embrace and work out what seems to be dark and hopeless and difficult and painful. And that is the resurrection. You come through that knowing that very thing is going to become your resurrection. That's what you're being called to encounter. Thomas encounters the wounds, the signs of everything bad, or what they seem to be bad. And that is what makes him, he goes from doubt to faith. He says the most important words in the entire scripture, the entire Bible is dedicated to us to say the one thing that St. Thomas said, my Lord and my God, you know, the triumph. And how did he come to say that? Not by going, wow, look, you came through a locked door. You're really amazing. I believe in you. No, it's when he embraced the reality of the wounds.
That's a really powerful reminder that you know, we have a tendency to think that, you know, God is present when good times are here, and absent when bad stuff starts to happen. But what you're really saying is that the secret here is that we find Christ in that struggle, and we invite Christ into the struggle. And sure, we can ask him to deliver us from it. That's a wonderful thing. But mainly what we need to do is say, okay, Lord, I'm in this. Come into it and teach me how to respond. Let's work through this together.
Exactly. Remember, resurrection was a defeat over something bad, over death. And you don't get, it's a victory over something that seemed like defeat. And you don't get that victory unless you pass through and embrace what seems to be defeat.
Amen. Father Loya, thank you so much for those encouraging, challenging, but encouraging words. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage people to go to taborlife.org. That's T-A-B-O-R, life.org, like the mountain, Mount Tabor. And check out all the great resources you have to help everyone live a more joyful life through the theology of the body. Father Loya, blessed Easter. He is risen.
Thank you, too. Indeed, he is risen.
Amen. All right, folks, we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Our show is titled Rise Up, as we talk about how we cooperate with the grace of this season, this Easter season, to rise up in the middle of the challenges we find ourselves in, especially those challenges in our life, our emotions, or our relationships that are just weighing us down and wearing us out. Let us help you cooperate with the grace of Easter to experience the resurrection that comes after the cross in your marriage, family, personal, or emotional life. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
It's extremely, I think, hypocritical. It's awful. It's so frustrating to hear these big companies saying they are so proud to pay for abortions for the employees, even pay for transportation, pay for the abortions, up to $10,000 some companies are willing to spend to send their employees to get an abortion in states that would still allow it, such as New York and California, and of course right now with all the shenanigans going on in Michigan. But what about health care? What about what about maternity care for moms? What about backing moms in other ways in the workforce as opposed to pitting them against their children? I mean, think about how sexist that is and how undignified that is to say to a woman, you can go get your abortion and then you can come back to work in a day or two. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, like more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. What does it mean for a dad to be poor in spirit? According to scripture scholars, the man who is poor in spirit is profoundly aware of his radical dependence on God. Men often struggle with this idea. Many of us have been raised to believe that it's a virtue to be self-sufficient. Boys are taught from toddlerhood that they're sissies if they ever need their moms or dads too much. This world tells us, blessed is the man who takes care of himself and minds his own affairs. But this attitude is completely contrary to the message of Jesus. In the words of Pope Francis, when the heart is rich and self-satisfied, it has no place for the Word of God. Catholic dads, do you know what it means to be radically dependent on God's help to be a great husband and father? To learn more, check out my book, Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Rise Up, as we talk about how can we rise up in the face of those difficult personal, emotional, or relationship challenges that are robbing our joy, especially in this Easter season. Got a challenge that you're facing in your life or relationships? We want to help you break through and find the solutions that you're seeking, the grace-filled solutions that you're looking for. 877-573-7825.
We just want to let you know that our longtime EWTN radio partner, Mater Dei Radio in Oregon, is conducting their spring share-a-thon next week.
And if you're listening in Portland, Vancouver, Salem, Eugene, Cottage Grove, or anywhere, please remember to support them and your local Catholic radio station. Lots of stations are going to be doing their spring drives next week. Make sure that you are supporting Catholic radio in your area to keep it going strong and growing stronger every single day.
We're going to go back to our calls now, but I want to take a quick second to put out a personal note. A happy birthday to one of our great listeners, Jonathan, who's listening in Pennsylvania. We want to wish you a happy birthday and ask God to bless you today and every day. God
Amen.
Bless you, Jonathan.
And with that, let's take our next call. Lisa, who's calling in? Right,
we're talking with Kim, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Hi, Kim. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hello. I have 5 children. And they're all over the age of 30.
Okay.
And we had a really rough time. I got divorced. There was a lot of, you know, stuff that goes on with divorces.
Sure.
But I have the problem is with my children, especially now that my children have grandchildren, a family of their own. Mm-hmm. And, it's just like their father was always, you know, boo to the Catholic in our faith. And I was very, very involved and tried to keep them in there. Now it's to the point where the kids are like, they don't want to talk to mom. They don't really want to have the grandkids talk to grandma too much because they're too afraid that I'm going to give them bring my faith to them. And they just don't really want it. They want their own faith. They have a different faith now. And it's just so heartbreaking, especially during the Easter time when, you know, my oldest daughter doesn't even want to talk to me.
At all, or what?
No, she doesn't want to talk to me at all because she's just, and the grandkids, she did FaceTime the family, and I was so alienated. I just felt like,
can I ask, so help me understand here, like, what is their beef with you specifically?
Especially if you're saying they're living a different faith right now, but there's a faith that you share somehow. You all believe in God somehow.
Right.
So what's the beef with you?
It's just a lot of things. Like, I really strongly believe in Mary and everything that our faith has to do. My daughter had a child when she went to Fatima Shrine. They prayed for a baby, and she had her on October 13th.
So what I'm hearing you say, though, Kim, I'm sorry to interrupt, but what I'm hearing you say is that instead of trying to find ways, points in common, ways that you could share, you could support them in their faith journey, instead ways that you could support them, their experience of you is that you, and this, hear me out, that you are always putting Catholic religion between you and them, and that they're tired of that.
I think it's that they don't, it feels to me as if when I talk to them, they don't, like, you know, Jesus is risen, praise God, and they don't want to hear that. It's like, that's mom, like, you know, mom's, and I'm so filled with, like, joy and happiness I want to share with them, and they're like,
Well, that's beautiful. But, you know, even St. Paul says, you know, I mean, the phrase, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, mm-hmm. comes from St. Paul. We need to know our audience, right? And we need mm-hmm. to, you know, it's good to preach the gospel at all times, but there are lots of ways to do it. And we need to be flexible about how we actually communicate God's love and grace to other people, not just through by preaching at them, but by the relationship that we're cultivating with them and the ways that they're experiencing the grace of the Lord through the support that we're giving them and the encouragement that we're providing.
Because if we look at Scripture, you know, when Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, he told them to go to their house and stay there. Now, not to jump around from house to house. Why? That's a weird thing for him to tell them. Why? Is because he knew some of the people they were staying with were going to get on their last nerve, that they were going to feel rejected in some ways, that it was going to be challenging. But what were they supposed to do in those houses? Not just rush in and preach about Jesus, but to serve, to live among them, to show them they were loved, to show them their dignity by the day in, day out, walking with them. And if you're ushering in a way that just says, hey, praise God, Jesus is risen. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. But if it's going to push them away so that they can't see your love for them, therefore can't see God's love for them, if they are going to feel like you care more about any agenda, whether it's, and I'm going to name a bunch of agendas parents do, whether it's the faith, whether it's losing weight, whether it's getting a better job, whether it's, if anybody is treated like you're pushing an agenda, they feel more like a project than a person.
Now, let me give you an example of how we want you to evangelize them. For instance, you know, you go over to the house and you're helping with the grandkids and you're, you know, helping with the dishes and you're, you know, being a really good listening ear where they can talk to you about anything and they know that mom is really going to hear what they have to say and be empathetic and caring, you know, and when they say, you know, mom, thank you so much for being here. And that gives you a chance to then say, you know, honey, I just love you so much. And I just want you to know how much God loves you, too. And that really just challenges me to want to be here as much as I can for you in whatever way I can. That's a beautiful message. And I guarantee you that they'd be willing to hear that message.
And they don't feel like a project then. They feel like you really are loving them.
Yeah, you're supporting them. You're loving them. You're giving them an actual experience of God's love through you. And then you're pointing back to where that strength is coming from so that you can support them because of that grace. And that, you know, whether they're open to that, whether they say, wow, let me convert to Catholicism again or not in that moment, is beside the point. You're leading them step by step into a deeper experience of God's love coming through you from your Catholic faith.
And what you're doing is you're inviting God to walk through a door you're trying to open. It's not about them necessarily accepting you more. It's not about preaching something specific. It's about living your faith in love and service so that you can till that soil. It's up to the Holy Spirit to do the rest of that work, but you're helping out the Holy Spirit by tilling that soil for them, by being that loving person. And you know, right now you're saying your daughter doesn't want to see you, you can't see your grandchildren. Well, you know what? That doesn't stop you on a Wednesday night from just sending over, you know, delivery of food from some delivery service. I won't push anyone in particular. We all have different ones. But saying, you know, you send a family meal over and you just text a note that says, hey, I'm sending you a meal over. You can eat it tonight or put it in the freezer for tomorrow. But boy, it's hard to get through a week. And I was just thinking about you and wanted to make your day a little bit easier. Boom, you're done. You're not asking to see anybody. You're not fighting about the faith. You're not pushing an agenda. You're just saying, I was thinking about you. I love you. Here's a way that I'm going to show you that.
Our adult kids, and we're parents of adult kids too, so you know we get what you're talking about, but our adult kids will want to have a relationship with their parents, with us, to the degree that they experience us as a support. And they will avoid us to the degree that they experience us as one more thing to do or a complication. So you want to ask yourself, what can you do to be experienced by them more as a support than as something that's undermining them, that's criticizing them, that's complicating their lives, or making it about you? And that's a hard message to hear, right? Because we raised our kids, and we put all that energy into it, and we want to have a certain kind of relationship with them when they grow up, and it's really terribly heartbreaking and disappointing when that doesn't happen. But we're still in that position of parent where we can, you know, where it's our obligation to be a support to them in their adulthood as they raise their children. And that's how we establish our credibility as mentors and get them to turn back to us for guidance on other things. But if they see us making it about us, if they see us making them into a project for any reason, especially about the faith, if they experience us as a complication rather than a support, they're going to run for the hills, and we're going to block our ability to evangelize our kids and mentor them into a faithful Christian adulthood.
And what I want you to do is take all that Easter energy you've got right now, Kim, where you're so grateful that He is risen, and I want you to bring it into yourself, and I want you to let it fuel your love for your kids into service. Okay? So pull back on all those words, but you're still living that faith out loud by all the service you're doing for your kids. And we often think our ministry is service to strangers. Oh, I'm going to stop and I'm going to give that person money on the street. Oh, I'm going to contribute something, you know, knit a billion blankets for the Pregnancy Help Center. I'm going to fill in the blank.
And those are beautiful things.
They're great things to do.
You can do them? Awesome.
But let's serve the people that God has put into our personal lives as fully, if not more so, in fact, first, and let them know they are truly loved. Because you know what? No matter what kind of a hard time your kids are giving you, every single child, whether they are newborn or whether they are 98 years old, wants to know that their mom loves them.
All right, Kim, thank you so much for the call. We do talk about this more in our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult, with our adult sons and daughters. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. Again, the title, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult, Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It has a lot of tips on there on how to improve your relationship with your adult kids, no matter how bad off it is, and how you can really build into a much stronger, more loving, connected relationship with them. Check it out, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult, Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. You know, Lisa, you were just talking with Kim about the importance of building strong domestic churches. That's what the church refers to. That's what the church calls families. But a domestic church isn't just any old family. It's a particular family that really is working hard to live out God's love in their relationships with each other in the world and connected to the sacramental grace of the church. And we are hosting a free webinar coming up on April 20th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. It's called Raising Confident Catholic Kids. It's all about how do you create the kind of home that increases the likelihood that your kids will grow up to be faithful Catholic adults. You know, recent research finds that only 15% of kids raised in Catholic households will grow up to be faithful Catholic adults. But why, and which is a sobering statistic, but why do those 15% kids make it where the other 85% don't? Well, it has a lot to do with how they experience Christ in their home. In this free webinar, Raising Confident Catholic Kids, we're going to talk to you about what the research shows parents can do to stack the deck in their favor by creating those loving, connected, caring Catholic households that make your kids want to own their faith as adults. So again, it's happening on Thursday, April 20th at 7:30 p.m. It's absolutely free. All you got to do is register for free if you go to CatholicHOM.com/webinar. Again, that's Catholic H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission. CatholicHOM.com/webinar. Register for free for our Raising Confident Catholic Kids webinar happening Thursday, April 20th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. All right, with that, we are heading out to our break, but it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11.
I love this verse. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Isn't this exactly what Father Loya was talking to us about in his segment? Isn't this exactly what we've been talking about? First of all, if you're like me, there are days you don't have any strength left. Whether you're feeling very strong today or you're feeling like you've got nothing left, it's the Lord's strength that we work off of. So seek it. Ask Him for it. Tell Him you just don't have it right now and you need His strength, and you need Him to fill you up with His strength. He will. And then seek His presence continually. Pause during the moments of your day and just say, Lord, I need to see You right now. I need You to fill me up right now. I need You to direct my path right now. And remember to walk that one step at a time with Him. Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually.
Amen. Well, we are talking about how to do that in the challenges you're facing in your life, your emotions, your relationships. If there is a problem that's weighing you down, that's stopping you from experiencing the joy of this Easter season, that's making you scratch your head and say, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I don't know what to do to make a change in this. Let us help you find the grace-filled solutions you're seeking today on More to Life. The number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going. It's not as scary as I thought it was. It's a much more warm and open place, and God really is about love. It's not about the rules and the things that I remember as a young child. It really is about the love that God has for each one of us that's so deep and wonderful.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Who may officiate at a wedding ceremony in the Catholic Church? According to the Catechism, in the Latin tradition, a priest or a deacon are the Church's authorized ministers who preside over the ceremony and receive the consent of the two spouses in the name of the Church and give them the blessing of the Church. It is the presence of the ministers as well as the spouses which visibly expresses the fact that the marriage is an ecclesial reality. The Church normally requires that the faithful contract marriage according to the ecclesiastical form because sacramental marriage is a liturgical act, so it ought to be celebrated in the public liturgy of the Church. Marriage is a state of life in the Church, so certainty about it is a necessity. Preparation for marriage is of prime importance, says the Catechism, citing the example and teaching of parents and families as a special form of this preparation. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and our show today is titled Rise Up, as we talk about how even in the middle of the personal, emotional, or relational challenges that we face, we can experience the joy of this Easter season and cooperate with God's grace to find those grace-filled solutions that we're all seeking. Give us a call at 877-573-7825, and let us help you overcome those challenges that are blocking your ability to cooperate with God's grace more effectively in your personal, emotional, or relational life. Again, the number, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Suzanne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hi, Suzanne. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you so much for taking my call. I've been listening to your program, and your feedback has already helped. But my situation, to just sum it all up, is dealing with bullies. I've got about three people in my life that are just mean and condescending and those kinds of things.
Okay.
There's a woman that I'll finish a project and she'll come into my office and tell me everything that I did wrong.
Now, is she a boss or a colleague?
No, she's a colleague.
Okay. All right.
And my response to her was, and I guess it's, I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but my response back to her was, I'm open to any comments or suggestions. If you want to sit down and talk, I'd be glad to. But I don't go into other people's offices and rip them apart.
Yeah, that's
I don't
a great
go into
response.
Other people's offices.
What did she do with that? I'm curious.
She just sat there and looked at me, and she looked down, and
good. So you had an impact then. It registered for her.
Right.
Okay. Well, but, you handled that well.
Well, thank you. But last week I had an appointment with my eye doctor. It's long story short, I had knee surgery, and because of some complications, I can't see out of my left eye right now. So he asked me, so how did the knee surgery go? And I said it went really well, and I'm looking forward to leaping tall buildings at a single bound very soon. And he just turned to me and he said, stop it.
What?
All right.
And that's it? That's what he said? What happened after he said that?
Well, I just hushed up, you know, and he asked me questions and I responded yes or no, and that was it. I mean, in that situation, the obvious solution is get another doctor.
It could be, when you have a relationship with a doctor.
Or just put up with the fact that the dude is cranky,
I mean, we don't need to respond to everything. You know, sometimes, you know, you just recognize that this person is that way, and it doesn't really matter that much. You put up with a 15-minute appointment, you walk out, and you're done. But I would say this, okay, in general, first of all, well done with your colleague.
I think you handled both situations pretty darn well.
Yeah, it was very charitable, and I think well done on handling that situation with your colleague. But in the larger question of how do you deal more gracefully and confidently with people who you experience as bullies, what I would suggest to you, you know, it's very hard for any of us to think on our feet. You know, when we're in the middle of the attack, you know, or the offense, our thinking brain goes offline and our emotional brain kicks in, and we just sort of either shut down or we lash out or we just start running off at the mouth and, you know, being very awkward. And we all do that, right? But that's because our thinking brain has shut off and our emotional brain kicks in. And we're just kind of reacting to the situation rather than responding to it. So the best way to prepare for these things is when you're not in the middle of them. So what I want you to do is I want you to get a notebook, and I want you to think about, say, the last 4 to 6 times in the last couple of weeks where somebody has treated you in a way that you felt was bullying or condescending or aggressive like this. And I want you to write down what they said. And I want you to bring that to the Lord and say, okay, God, help me know how to respond to this kind of thing in a way that would help me be who you created me to be, and find gentle ways to invite them to be who you created them to be too. And then I want you to write out your response, like script out what you wish you had said in that situation. You know, hindsight's 20/20. So whenever we're looking back, we often have the perspective that we were lacking in the moment. So if you write out exactly what you wish you had said then every day you say to yourself when you wake up, maybe as part of your prayer time, okay, Lord, you know, I know something like this might happen today. Help me to remember to say these kinds of things instead of what normally happens. And then you mentally rehearse those responses that you wrote out to those situations in your notebook. And you say, you know, I'm going to see my doctor later today. Chances are he's going to bark at me just like he did last time. I want to be able to respond more like this, what you wrote out, than what I usually do. Help me, Lord, to remember that, right? Or, you know, my colleague's going to come in and rip apart my project. Help me to respond more like this as opposed to, you know, what I did before. Whatever the situation is, you know, just try to talk. And if you don't know, then you can talk to somebody that you respect and get some counsel on that too. But this way, it's all about being aware. You know, what the theology of the body calls receptivity. You know, instead of being in reactivity, we are receptive to the grace of the Holy Spirit. We're trying to prepare. We're thinking ahead and realizing, you know, things like this are going to happen. I should be ready for them. Instead of what we usually do is we survive those experiences, say, oh, thank God that's over, and then don't think about it again until it happens. And when we do that, we end up repeating the same mistakes over and over again. So the more receptive we are by by being aware that these things are happening in my life, that God has a plan, that he wants me to respond differently to them, writing out that response and then rehearsing it in prayer, the more likely it is that we'll be ready for those things when they come, instead of being surprised by it and then doing the same thing over and over again. Suzanne, I hope that those suggestions will get you started. And if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where you'll check out lots of resources to really develop that strength that you're looking for to be that fully formed prophetic woman of God who doesn't wilt in the face of those kinds of challenges. Nobody likes them. Don't get me wrong. I don't like being treated that way either. But you can be a lot more confident and graceful even under those pressures.
But I tell you, I don't think you're wilting at all. I think you're handling things pretty darn well.
Nicely done. Well, folks, that's all the time we've got for today's program. Thanks so much for tuning in and sharing your stories with us and allowing us to walk with you on this part of your journey. If you'd like more resources to help you live a more faithful, joyful, and abundant marriage, family, or personal life, come visit us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn about those resources, including the Pastoral Solutions Institute's Pastoral Telecounseling Practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to discover graceful solutions to leading a more abundant marriage, family, and personal life. Again, that's CatholicCounselors.com. Have a blessed day. And remember, with God's grace, there is so much more to life.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.